It's a pleasure to be preaching this evening from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. As lots of you will know, and as Vijay mentioned, we studied Romans in our midweek groups over the last year. And it was really great to have God strengthen our confidence in his gospel about his son Jesus as we read Romans and prayed together week by week. The verses we're looking at this evening are, for Christians, perhaps some of the most emphatic and wonderful and reassuring verses in the letter. So they'll do us good whether we've heard them many times before or whether this is the first time. I must admit, even for me, speaking from down here and craning up towards everyone does make me feel rather small, which is perhaps a good thing. I can only guess how Kev and Chris must feel. So, in a moment, I'll read God's word from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. But first, I'm going to pray that God will help us, that we might listen and take to heart what he has to say to us today. Father in heaven, thank you that you speak to us and tell us of the blessings we have as Christians. We so easily forget and need to be reminded. So please help us this evening, Father, to experience the wonderful truth of knowing that, as Christians, we're free of condemnation because Jesus was condemned. Amen. So, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, and I think you can find it on page 1137 of the Church Bibles, which are these black ones. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever struggle as a Christian with a sense of condemnation? Do you ever secretly fear that perhaps God won't accept you, but instead will condemn you when you stand before him? After all, day after day, we're reminded of our rebellion against him and the hurt we cause each other. In one of my favourite Christian books, The Cross-Centred Life, C.J. Mahaney points out that it's a mistake for us to think that that condemnation is only a problem for people with really major sins. And he poses some questions to help us work out whether we might be allowing condemnation into our lives. Here they are. So, do you relate to God as if you were on a kind of permanent probation, suspecting that at any moment he might haul you back into the jail cell of his disfavour? When you come to worship, do you maintain a respectful distance from God, as if he were a fascinating but ill-tempered celebrity known for lashing out at fans? When you read the Bible, does it reveal the boundless love of the Saviour, or merely intensify your condemnation? Are you more aware of your sin than you are of God's grace, giving you through the cross? Maybe in our heads we know that when we stand before God, we'll be accepted because of Jesus. But perhaps day to day, it's a bit harder to believe. After all, you still sin. So surely God will condemn you. Isn't it so easy for an awareness of our rebellion against God, shame how we've let him down, to lead us to be hesitant to pray, or scared to read his word, the Bible, or slow to share the gospel with others, or ashamed to meet with other Christians on a Sunday or at midweek? Well, today we'll hear a wonderful and liberating truth. We don't have to keep carrying around all that excess baggage. There's no need for the Christian to fear condemnation. So our first point, which you can find on the insert in the sheet, is there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Look with me at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a truly wonderful truth for us to grasp. It's conclusive. By using the word therefore, Paul's showing us that it's a truth that follows from what's already been said in Romans so far. It's emphatic. There's now no condemnation. There's none, not even a little bit. There's not even a tiny ant-sized portion of condemnation for the Christian. It's a source of relief. To be condemned by God is a terrible and awful thing. It means to be declared guilty by God. It means to be awaiting punishment by God. It means to be weighed down by the shame of what we've done and fearful of the consequences. Yet none of this is for the Christian. Why do we say for the Christian? Why not there's no condemnation for anyone, whether they're a Christian or not? It's because of that phrase, for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's one of the New Testament's favourite ways to refer to a Christian. It summarises an amazing truth. The person who has faith in Christ is united to Christ. We abide in Christ, we're in Christ. And this means that in a very real sense, what Christ experiences, we experience. What Christ has, we have. Where Christ is, we are. Maybe you've seen the classic illustration. Imagine, it's a stretch, I know, that this snazzy Euston Church pen represents you, and this book represents Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, the pen is in the book. When you put your faith in Christ, you're united to him. You become in him. And so wherever Christ goes, you go. Whatever happens to Christ happens to you. So then, the Christian is in Christ, and there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. As I said earlier, this is a truly wonderful truth for us to grasp. But why, you might ask? Why is it so wonderful? Why is it such good news? Tomorrow morning, I'll go into work at my office on the Euston Road as normal. Last week was a really productive week, and I got loads done. When I get to my desk, imagine I switch on my computer, and I unlock the cupboard under my desk. But imagine that. Just as I get up to go and make my first cup of tea of the day, my manager says, "Paul, can I have a word?" Ooh, I think. Must be something important so early in the day. So we go off and search for a spare meeting room. 10 minutes later, there never are enough meeting rooms, we're sitting down, and then my manager says to me, "Paul, I've got some really great news. You're not facing a disciplinary hearing this week." He looks at me expectantly, awaiting a look of thankfulness and relief. But of course, there's no such look on my face, because I'm trying to work out why on earth he felt the need to tell me that. As far as I know, I haven't done anything deserving of a disciplinary hearing. There never was any danger of me facing one. So why should the news I'm not facing one this week cause me anything other than confusion and perhaps to look for a new manager? And this brings us to our next point. Although we may not be facing condemnation anymore, it hasn't always been that way. So our second point, we were once facing condemnation. Look with me at verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Through Christ, we have been set free. But before we had faith in Christ, before we were in him, before we were Christians, we weren't free from condemnation. No, we were held captive by the law of sin and death. When Paul talks about the law here, he's talking about the law that God gave Israel through Moses in the Old Testament. It laid down how God wanted them to live. Over the years, some Jews came to think that by obeying this law, that they could be right with God and free from condemnation. But there was a problem, a big problem. For the Jews in the first instance, but also for everyone, including us, who would ever try to be right with God by keeping their own list of do's and don'ts. Look with me at the start of verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The Apostle Paul's just explained in chapter 7 of Romans that the law God gave Israel was holy, righteous and good in itself. And many of our own lists of do's and don'ts have something to commend them. But they'll never make us right with God, free of condemnation. The problem is our flesh, or put another way, our sinful, rebellious human nature. We know how God wants us to live, yet we can't obey him. Our sinful nature prevents us. We disobey instead as our sinful nature wants us to. And so the very do's and don'ts by which we hope to be right with God and free of condemnation, in fact, condemn us. They show up quite simply but starkly that we don't do what God tells us, but instead we do the things he tells us not to do. Our list of do's and don'ts, weakened by our sinful natures, and in view of our disobedience, hold us captive under the condemnation of death. So we were once condemned. That's why, back in chapter 3 of Romans, we heard the Apostle Paul say, both Jews and Greeks, that's everyone else, are under sin. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. We all share a sinful, rebellious nature, and it stops us doing what God tells us to do, while causing us to do the things he tells us not to do. It holds us captive, condemned, facing death. It's hard for us to grasp what an utterly awful situation this is to be in. It's a bit like a criminal on death row in a country with the death penalty. Accused, found guilty, condemned, waiting around for the sentence of death to be carried out. No appeals left, no way out, only despair. Yet, before God, the condemnation and death we faced was not only one-off and physical, but eternal and spiritual. And when we realise this, we'll truly consider it a wonderful truth that there's now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. But we might ask, how can this wonderful truth be true? How is it possible? On what basis can we be sure that we're free from condemnation? And our third point is this: Christ was condemned. Look with me again at verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. God sent his own Son, Jesus the Christ. He sent him in the likeness of sinful man. This doesn't mean Christ was a sinner. It does mean he became like us in that he really was and is a man. He really was subject to the temptations that we're subject to. Yet unlike us, he really didn't sin, but always obeyed God. He was sent to be a sin offering, to be sacrificed, to appease, to satisfy, to turn aside God's anger against our sin. And this he accomplished in his death on the cross. At the cross, Christ suffered death, the physical and spiritual agony of judgment by God his Father. So why is it that we're free from condemnation? The answer is that God has already condemned sin in the flesh, in Christ's flesh. In the flesh of him who did not sin, there's no more condemnation left for us. We might ask, though, how Christ's condemnation removes the need for us to be condemned, or indeed, why he should have been condemned at all. Isn't it a bit unfair? I mean, we sin, not him. We need to remember again that we're in Christ. As Christians, by faith, we're united to Christ. We were in Christ when he was condemned. We died on the cross with him. We rose to new life with him. It's a bit like a marriage. Imagine a marriage where a rich man takes on the massive debt of his new wife. The man owns his own business, car, and has money in the bank. Yet his wife has been hounded for the last year by creditors. She owes money after her business went bust. She's been chased by the local car dealer for late payments on the car she bought and for the cost of the repairs that are needed from all the times that she crashed it. And her bank, well, she has a large pile of increasingly strongly worded letters demanding repayment of a huge overdraft and extensive credit card bills. She's no assets of her own to draw upon, no way out. Her husband-to-be knows all this, and yet he proposes. They are married, and the rich husband takes on the huge debts of his destitute wife. They become his because they're married. He too is now pursued by the creditors and the car dealer and the bank. And likewise, like a rich husband, so Christ has taken on himself, when you were united to him by faith, your massive debt, your condemnation. Imagine again then that this pen represents you and this book represents Christ. You've sinned and are facing condemnation, yet you are in and united to Christ. And then, Christ paid the massive debt. Our sin was condemned in Christ, as we are in Christ. So, there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ was condemned. If you're a Christian, be reassured. Look at the cross of Christ and be confident that there's now no condemnation for you. And make sure that you remind yourself of this wonderful truth every day. I don't know about you, but I need to. This evening, or perhaps tomorrow, you're conscious of a particular sin of which you've repented, but which is causing you to feel far from your Father in heaven and unable to pray to him. No. Tell yourself, you're not under condemnation. Christ was condemned. Your Father in heaven longs for you to pray to him. Or perhaps this weekend, again, you're conscious that you've not lived every day during the last week as God wants you to. You feel condemned and too ashamed to listen to your Father speak to you in his word, the Bible. No, tell yourself, you're not under condemnation. Christ was condemned. You can listen to your Father in heaven. And even as his word exposes your sin, you can look to the cross of Christ and give thanks. You're at the office or out with friends and you've an opportunity to share the gospel with a non-Christian. It's what you've been praying for. But how can you? You feel like such a hypocrite. All the sins you've committed in the past 24 hours, all the thoughts in your mind flood back. Surely it's better to keep quiet. No, tell yourself, you're not under condemnation. Christ was condemned. Share God's power of salvation for everyone who believes with your non-Christian friend, that they too might come to be in Christ and free of condemnation. Or perhaps it's this coming Wednesday afternoon and you don't feel able to come along to midweek. Or it's a Sunday afternoon and you don't feel able to come to the 5 p.m. service. You feel too ashamed. You've had a bad week when it comes to obeying God. You repented, but still feel condemned. Surely it's better to have a week off until you're a better Christian. No. Tell yourself, you're not under condemnation. Christ was condemned. Go and meet his people with a thankful heart. Maybe even, for some of us, with particular sins far in the past, you find it so hard to believe that God could ever have truly forgiven you. It was so bad. It was so against God's ways. It was a big sin, not a little one. You hurt people so badly. Can you be sure? When you stand before God, you think there's still a risk that he'll look at you and say, condemned. No. Tell yourself, you're not under condemnation. Christ was condemned. There isn't any condemnation left for you. Give thanks. And when we're together as Christians on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or other times in the week, let's be upfront with one another. Let's help one another. Let's be clear that the only reason we don't face condemnation is because we're in Christ, who was condemned in our place. It's nothing to do with what we've done or not done. It's about what Christ's done. We all have the same certain hope. If you're not a Christian here this evening, then please recognise that you are still facing condemnation as you're not in Christ. These wonderful blessings that flow from being in Christ don't yet apply to you. You're still on death row. When you stand before God, you will face his judgment. But know this. If you repent and put your faith in Christ while there's still time, even this evening, then what is true of every Christian will wonderfully and most certainly also be true of you. And you will also be able to say with a thankful heart, there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thanks that you're so clear in telling us that there's now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Thanks that we can be confident of that. And it's nothing to do with what we have or haven't done, but everything to do with Christ having been condemned already in our place. Father, I pray that you'd help us to experience that this week. Every time, Father, that we feel the baggage of condemnation, please help us to tell ourselves these truths from Romans. In Jesus' name, Amen.